Last week we finished up a study on 2 Samuel, and we are going to continue with our study of the kings. We're going to start with 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings this evening, and like the kings, they were originally one book, just like 1 and 2 Samuel, but they broke it up. And 1 Kings contains 22 chapters, and the content of the book is the life of Solomon. And we see that Israel, the United Kingdom, is divided. And we'll see a snippet of some of the kings in the northern tribe and the southern tribe. The key lesson we could learn from the book of 1 Kings is everything is judged in God's sight. Nobody can escape that. Even you and I today. We are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we are going to be accountable for all those deeds, the good deeds and the bad deeds. And we hope and pray by God's grace and mercy, He is going to allow us the opportunity to enter heaven. The author, no one knows the author of 1 and 2 Kings. Though some commentators had suggested that maybe Ezra, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah were possible authors. But we don't know. All we know is the Holy Spirit had given this to us. And why do we study the history of Israel? Well, it's important to see how they reacted in the sight of God. They sinned. We have that problem in our lives today. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's you and I today. However, we have an advocate. That is Jesus the Christ. We could approach God through Jesus and ask for forgiveness when we repent from those things. But the nation of Israel, we see that they wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to worship foreign gods. They wanted to live in a society like the rest of the society. But they were God's people. They were holy people. But they didn't live up to that. Okay, let me can get the next slide here.
Why should this be interesting to us, to me? We're all descended from Noah. This history is our history.
In a way, we all, after the flood, true, the world was populated, but we see a lot of different nations that came out of that. And when we look at God's chosen people, the Israelites, and that's what the Bible is all about. It teaches their history. And throughout the history, what happened to them? They sinned. They've fallen short of worshiping God. And God expected them to be above all those other people. Just like you and I today, we are Christians, and He expects more out of us than the rest of the world. We are fortunate we have God's word. We have the gospel. And as Christians, we should be sharing that message with our neighbors and friends and people that we meet. That's our jobs. So that they will also have the opportunity to be with God in heaven. So as we study the Kings, we're going to see that I shared this chart with you a couple of weeks ago on the United Kingdom. That's when Israel was together. We started off with the king that the people wanted, and God had chosen Saul. And at first he started out as a good king, but then again, he committed sin. His son decided to take the reins because he thought that was owed to him, and that was Ish-bosheth. But the prophet Samuel didn't anoint him as king. God had chosen someone to replace him. And God's choice was David. And we know about his life. We know about David's life. He was a good king. But yet he sinned. He sinned like you and I. But the most important thing about David, he was faithful. And then we go into, as the United Kingdom, Solomon, David's son. He started out as a good king. He asked God for wisdom instead of all the riches of the world. He asked for wisdom so he could rule. He could rule favorably the nation of Israel. And God said, since you didn't ask for all these riches, you're going to acquire them. But these things went to his head. And he started marrying all these different women, 700 and 300 concubines, and then decided to please those women by worshiping their gods. And that was his demise. And we'll see when we go into the first in this book, First Kings, the Israel nation is going to split. It's going to split into northern and southern kingdoms, Judah and Israel. I have several more charts that show the divided kingdom, and these charts will be available on our website. And if you have some problems downloading that, talk to Jerry. But I named the king. She can't see my pointer. I named the king first. On the left side, we'll see kings of Judah, their reigns, but more important, where we find them in Kings and Chronicles. We find their description and what they were doing in the scriptures. And then I put a column for when they started their particular reign. For example, Rehoboam, he started out as an evil king and he finished as an evil king. We jump down to Josabat. He was a good king. And he finished his reign as a good king. And he reigned over Judah for 25 years. And all the kings who reigned in Israel, they all started out as evil, and eventually they continued that trend by being evil. In this particular chart, we see that The one on the bottom, Jotham, he was a good king, and he finished as a good king. And he reigned about 16 to 20 years. And again, all the kings of Israel were evil. Another thing, when you study kings, you should also look at the prophet that's associated with that king. Because that prophet was God's mouthpiece, and he was telling the kings whether or not they sinned, whether or not they were pleasing to God. But they were important in this time period. As we continue with this chart, we see Hezekiah. He was a good king when he started, and also he finished as a good king. And again, there's references of scripture that are associated with Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 18, and also 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 33 and chapter 20. So we see that when you look at these kings, we could see what's happening. I'm not a history major. I don't particularly like history, but it's interesting when you look at the history of Israel and what separated them from God. And what was that? Sin, exactly. And as we continue with these charts, we see that the nation of Israel, they were put in captivity in 722 BC, and then Judah was put into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. And the Assyrians and the Babylonians were God's instrument in dealing out his retribution to those who are sinners, those individuals. But yet he saved a remnant of people so that the line of David will continue, because God promised that out of his lineage there will be a king, and that is Jesus the Christ. So when we look at kings, it's it continues the story that began in 1 and 2 Samuel. We looked at Saul, we looked at David, and David wanted to build the temple, but God said, no, you have too much blood on your hand. Your son, your successor, and that was Solomon, will complete that. And 1 Kings covers Solomon's reign, the reign of Solomon. One story that comes to all of our minds is the story that Solomon was going to decide which woman would be the mother of the child that they brought before him. And we also noticed that Solomon builds the temple. We see in 1 Kings that Elijah, a prophet, confronts the prophets of the false god Baal and gets hundreds of them killed. That's a story that that's in 1 Kings. So we look at the first and second chapters, we see how Solomon becomes a king. And Israel is under the kingship of Solomon. He has a wise administration. He builds and dedicates the temple to the Lord. He accumulates wealth and wisdom. But in chapter 11, he falls short. He fails as a king and a servant of God. We see that in chapters 12 to the remaining part of the book, the kingdom divides. Northern tribes rebel. Early kings of Judah and Israel. Elijah the prophet comes on the scene in the 17th chapter and the 21st chapter. We see the story of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel in chapters 22, in chapters 20, verses 1 through 22, and also verse 40. And we'll see how King Jehoshaphat of Judah and King Uzziah of Israel in chapter 22, where they come to some sort of agreement and have peace between the northern and southern tribes. David had a heart for the Lord. God said he was a man after my own heart. However, his son, Solomon, allowed his heart to be influenced by ungodly people. He started disobeying the word of God, the word of the Lord. As a king, he should have read and meditated on God's word. Something that we should incorporate in our lives as Christians. Meditate on God's word. And he got off track and greatly compromised the kingdom. And this led to the downfall of the entire nation. Israel's monarchy failed miserably and led to a divided kingdom, starting with 1 Kings chapter 12, and eventually exile in 2 Kings 17:5 and also the 25th chapter of 2 Kings. They sinned and rejected the word of God in spite of repeated warnings given by God's prophets. It's amazing. We don't have the prophets today that tell us when we're sinning. But we have God's word as a guide for us to follow as Christians. Back to the first chapter of Kings, verse 30, David approaches death and he anoints his son Solomon to reign as king. And Solomon starts off well, asking the Lord for wisdom, but soon disobeys God by marrying foreign women, worshiping foreign gods, accumulating massive amounts of possessions, and conscripting his fellow Israelites into slavery, all in a direct defiance of the written word of God. So he turned into an evil king. Because of this, after his death, the Lord tore the kingdom out of his son's hand. And the people of Israel divided into two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. Both kingdoms degenerated into idolatry. And there's reference there, 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 to 33, and also chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. However, Judah, occasionally led by a somewhat good king, like Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, and Josiah, and even experienced miraculous deliverance like Hezekiah in the 19th chapter, 2 Kings. So it's important when you study the kings, you not only look at 1 and 2 Samuel or 1st and 2nd Kings, but also you look at God's explanation in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And also as you study the kings, you may want to make sure you look at the prophets and get what God is telling them, because they were God's mouthpiece. On the other hand, Israel never had a good ruler and looks more and more like the nations that were in the land before they possessed it. What did God tell the children of Israel when they went into the land of Canaan? What did he instruct the Israelites to do?
Kill everybody.
Exactly, Carol. Make sure you destroy all the inhabitants, all their animals, everything in the land. And did they do that? No. Even Joshua failed to ask God's help in a situation. We are all human. And it's a lesson for us. We make mistakes. But it's up to you and I to correct those mistakes. There's two prophets that we're going to see, Elijah and Elisha. And they were zealous for the Lord. We've come across them in the 17th through the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And also we read about them in 2 Kings, first 8 chapters. They performed many miracles, providing the power of God over false deities, and even raised the dead to life. The prophetic word of the Lord falls on deaf ears as God raises up two enemy nations, Assyria and Babylon, to invade Israel and Judah respectively. We see the temple. David designed it, Solomon built it. And we look at 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and there's a lot of facts about the temple in these two particular books. 1 Kings chapter 5 through 9 provides details about its elaborate design and dedication. It is not too hard to imagine the joy and vibrancy of the people as they worship there. The following chapters make consistent references to its plundering both by the enemies of Israel, 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 through 28, and even their own leaders, 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. And it seems that the state of the temple closely paralleled the people's spiritual state. It's amazing when you look at what they undergone. And they were God's chosen people. But yet they turned their backs on the Lord. They were prophets. Also, they were prophets. And they were God's people who communicated God's will to the people. So there's two types of leaderships, the kings and the prophets. Bad kings delivered bad leadership, taking the nation further from God. And it was the role of the prophet to deliver God's word of warning and judgment. On occasion, a good king like Hezekiah would seek the advice and intercession of a prophet, as he did with Isaiah. Prophets like Elisha demonstrated the power and superiority of God through miracles. It must have been very impressive when they were among the people and they showed miracles. And they didn't take the credit. They gave the credit to God. God in the nations. God moves the hearts of individuals, but he also moves nations to accomplish his will. Most notable was Assyria and Babylon to bring judgment upon the people of Israel and Judah. We also see his sovereign hand in the division of Israel and Judah. 1 Kings 12 and verse 15. The raising up of Solomon's enemies and the defeat of the Assyrians against Hezekiah. Again, there's a lot of interesting facts in 1 and 2 Kings. And if you were to study these kings out, you would have to take into account all these books. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and also the prophets. We have prophets that were, in fact, I did a study years ago on the prophets, and I'm amazed. There were all sorts of different prophets. There were prophets who were just verbal. There were prophets who performed miracles. There were prophets who had wrote things that passed on to us via the Holy Spirit, the major prophets and minor prophets. We also see that they were prophecies. It's a fascinating study. And when you look at the Bible, the prophets were God's mouthpiece. They represented God. And the children of Israel just disregarded them. The cost of compromise. We see that Solomon strayed away from the word of God. He completely ignored God's commands. He let his heart be influenced by his ungodly wives, which led to his horrible downfall. It is likely that he reasoned that he was just being like all the other kings around him. He wanted to be just like the other nations that surrounded him, or that God would approve of his behavior since he had appeared to him. Solomon's compromise came at a high price, not just for himself and his subjects, but for future generations. So when you look at what happened to Israel down the line, we're going to see that they no longer exist after 70 AD with their genealogies. God destroyed them. In 1 Kings, we see the impact of leadership. David's leadership impacted the generations after him. God tore the kingdom apart, partially because he wanted one tribe to remain in David's line. And that's for the Christ. The example here is that each of Judah and Israel's kings were responsible for before the Lord for the direction of their respective kingdoms. If any of them would seek the Lord with all their heart, he would be faithful to protect and bless them. That's a promise to us today. And that's why we study these particular individuals. We see that when they failed, they sinned, they were separated from God. But when they were faithful to God, God blessed them, just like he blesses you and I today. And I could attest to that in my life, that you put the Lord first, no matter what the cost is to you, he will bless you. But when we look at all the kings, we see that when they were evil, they were just bringing down the nation. In fact, when Nehemiah, he was a prophet, he was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. And the king of Persia allowed him to go back to rebuild the temple. And I believe it's in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, we see that they asked him to read from God's word. And these people, at that particular time, recognized the deity and superiority of God, and they stood up and humbled themselves. That's awesome. And that's the way we as a people, as God's people, should dedicate our lives to Him. Can I get a volunteer to read 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, please? Thank you, Vicki. So we see that was directed to these individuals back then, but it's also applicable to you and I today. We should keep God's commandments, His statutes, His ordinances, and His testimonies. You're going to be accountable for that in your life. Not just because you come to services or associate with Christians, you are going to be accountable for everything you do. And God expects you to worship, praise Him, and honor Him. Can I get someone to read 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, please? Thank you. So here's Solomon asking. He wants wisdom so that he can judge. He can be a fair judge. And at that particular time in his life, he was dedicated to God. But we see it changed later on in his life. And again, this is a verse concerning dividing the child in two. Can I get a volunteer for 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 25, please.
The king said, divide the living child in two and give half the one and half to the other.
Thank you very much, Anne. So we see that Solomon was wise. Well, cut the guy, think as a child in half. Have one go one way, one go the other way. Makes sense. But the true mother didn't want her child to die. So he said, I'm going to forfeit my right. And Solomon knew who was the mother. But yet, when we look at Solomon, when he became a king, Solomon chose wisdom. And we see that particular story about the baby decision in chapter 3, verses 16 to 20. Verse 16 through 27. And the gist of that story is Solomon had to decide between two women as which one was the mother of the baby. Solomon says, cut the baby in two halves. When one woman said she would rather give up her claim than have the child killed, Solomon knew that she was the real mother. She was going to protect her child at whatever cost, even if it was giving her up. So Solomon authored 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 psalms, and he built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, 45 feet high. And he decorated it with cypress and cedar wood as well as gold, taking 7 years to build. And Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, who brought in their gods, such as Ashtaroth of the Sidonians, Milcom of the Amorites, Chemosh of Moab, and Molech of the Amorites. And he ruled 40 years before his death. And after his death, the divided kingdom came, and it was about 922 BC. Hebrews were divided into two groups: the southern kingdom, which included Jerusalem and involved the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the northern kingdom, which were the other 10 tribes of the Hebrew nation, they were called Israel. And the southern kingdom was under the family of David. Kings of both southern and northern kingdom worship gods other than the Lord, God of Israel, leading to many problems. One king, Ahab of Israel, northern kingdom, had a wife, Jezebel, who worshipped the gods Baal, or Beelzebub, and Asherah. Jezebel tried to kill the Lord's prophets and encouraged Ahab to do evil. Elijah the prophet of the Lord God of Israel during this time, and Elijah returned a child to life, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 23. On Mount Carmel, Elijah and the prophets of Baal had a showdown to see who would set fire to light their altars. And God lit the fire for Elijah, and the prophets of Baal were killed. Elijah told King Ahab that dogs would devour Queen Jezebel's body. That's a horrible death, because the evil that these two individuals projected. Solomon becomes king in 1 Kings, opens with the conclusion of the court history of David that began in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and then relates to the story of who would follow David as king. Now, David had an eldest son living, Adonijah, or his son from Bathsheba, Solomon. Solomon was the choice. In Israel under King Solomon, it was like the golden age. Given the gift of wisdom by God, Solomon organizes the nation to be more efficient, brings them peace and prosperity, and builds the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Majestic palaces and strong forts. He's not always wise. He didn't use that wisdom to discern God's word. He uses forced labor to complete his building projects and taxes the people too heavily. His sin is that he builds shrines to the gods that is foreign wise worship. That's an admonition for you and I, to make sure we don't have the world influence our lives and pull us away from serving God. When the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream, the young king asks God for wisdom to rule his people. God is so pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom that God promises to make him rich and respected as well. He builds the temple and dedicates it. So at this particular point in time, he was a good king. We see that when the help of King Hiram of Tyre, Solomon builds a temple to the Lord to replace the sacred tent in Jerusalem and dedicates it during the Feast of Shelters. Solomon is warned in a dream that the Lord will desert the temple and the land if the people disobey God's commands and start worshiping foreign gods. And we know the outcome of that. Originally, Solomon had asked God to make him wise so that he would know the difference between right and wrong, and so he would be able to rule God's people. However, he used his wisdom to make himself wealthy and famous. Thus turns out to be the beginning of his decline as a king. Because Solomon disobeys the Lord by worshiping the gods of his foreign wives, Solomon's kingdom begins to face troubles. from enemies inside and out. And that's when the northern and southern kingdoms split. After Solomon dies, Jeroboam, one of Solomon's former officials, leads the northern tribes in the rebellion against Rehoboam, Solomon's heir. And the remainder of 1 Kings focuses on the religious loyalties of the kings of Israel in the north and the kings of Judah in the south. And the kings of Israel are strongly condemned because they choose to worship at Bethel and Dan, the holy places set up by Jeroboam, chapter 12 in 1 Kings, rather than worshiping God in Jerusalem. And the story of the divided kingdom continues in 2 Kings. So it's important when you study the kings to look at all these books and integrate them in your study. So you're not just looking at one particular book and following by the second book, but integrate the stories and you'll see how they are related to each other. Northern tribes rebel. The people from the northern tribes promised to obey and serve Rehoboam on the condition that he lighten their workload. Rehoboam refuses and the people from the north break away, uniting under Jeroboam, who makes Shechem his capital. He also sets up gold statues of calves in Dan and Bethel. Rehoboam also sins by allowing the people of Judah to build shrines and worship foreign gods. So we see the decline of God's people. We see that they're falling into sin. Abijah and Asa continue the line of David on the throne of Judah for a total of 44 years. Leadership in Israel is less stable due to the shifting loyalties among military and political leaders. Under Omri, a new capital is set up for Israel in the city of Samaria. And this section ends with Omri's son Ahab coming to power. So when you look at the New Testament, what do we know about the Samaritan woman? Who can tell me about that? What did Jesus ask of her?
Water.
I drink water.
And she couldn't believe that he would ask her because she was a Samaritan.
Exactly. And now we see what happened here. How the Samaritans came into existence. And Jesus said to her, I will give you living water. And he did. So you can see how these stories are connected. And you see how they relate. As we continue, Elijah the prophet, the unfolding story of the kings of Israel and Judah is put aside momentarily so that the author of 1 Kings can describe the work of the prophet Elijah, whose name means the Lord is my God. Elijah challenges King Ahab and Queen Jezebel of Israel, who followed the Canaanite god Baal. And King Ahab and Jezebel, in that section, is a collection of stories about King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. First, it tells of Ahab's battle with King Ben-Hadad of Syria and of all the condemnation brought to Ahab by an unnamed prophet of the Lord in chapter 20. It could have been Elijah. We don't know. He is not named. This is followed by the story how Jezebel plots to get Naboth's vineyard for her husband, and Elijah's words of condemnation to the king and queen in chapter 21. And the prophet Micah warns Ahab that he will die in battle against the Syrians. And then there's a story about King Josaphat of Judah and King Ahaz of Israel, and for a period of time, there were cooperation and peace between the kings of Judah and Israel. So as we continue with our study next week, we are going to go further into the study of the kings. And like I said, I'm not a history buff, and I'm not into what history is, from American history to world history to the history of what we find here. But when we study the history of Israel, we see that sin separates them from God. And that's the point of the Bible. God's word is telling us. He is telling us how to live as Christians, as his people. And it's up to you and I to follow that. Are there any questions or concerns or additions to 1 Kings? So next week we will continue with our study of 2 Kings, and as we progress in the overview of the Bible, I'm not trying to teach everything in the book, of the individual books, but I'm trying to give you an overview so that you could remember the things that you studied in the past and also the new things that you pick up